If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yaf, is your mic on?
Sure is.
Okay, cool.
How am I looking?
Looking good, bro.
Yeah?
Looking good. Kwame?
Yo, hello.
Is your mic on?
Yeah, it's on.
Because you like
it's on.
To bro, talk
it's,
into...
It's, if you think about it, it's actually like a gag. But you don't have a clock.
It's not a gag.
It's very...
It's not. Yeah. It's actually not.
Not like the monkey.
Huh?
In the airport.
Stupid gag.
It's sparkling.
That's not funny.
Bro, it's very funny.
It's not funny.
We show it after.
We're gonna show you something later on today, yeah. And we're all gonna vote whether or not it's funny or not. And I think it's ridiculously not funny.
I think it's very artistic.
I think it's stupid. It's probably the stupidest thing I've ever seen on the internet.
No, you see more.
A man tries to bring a monkey.
No, what are you talking about?
Give it context.
It's a spin-off episode.
I like to start the recording just like this. We're recording, bro. Oh, you're having a drink, yeah? Like, it's really funny how like the room goes really quiet.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's shit.
Deadly silent.
Everyone's quiet and that. But yeah, I've been recording for like the last, 2 minutes now? Yeah, I like to ease into episodes and not make it feel like it's like, all right, we're on. Like, turn on everybody and like we can go. But yeah, we're here, man. We're here. What's going on?
Where are we?
We are in the west side of Amsterdam at the Panics. Big shout out to Auntie Anya.
Every time.
The location of our screening, of our Golden Generation screening. But we're here for a very different reason today.
Where is that, Key?
Huh?
Where is that reason?
Well, first of all, if you're listening, you're tuned in to the Out of Home podcast, the show brought to you by four Londoners, capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own. In the building, for the first time in a long time, we got the Mandem and the Keldem.
Yes.
It's mad. So please tell me why we're here, Stephen.
Basically here to celebrate some dope women in our lives. I think we've been in Amsterdam like max 8 years or less, and I think in that journey we've met some amazing, incredible women, and we're very conscious that our platform is for guys, but today and every day we want to get a different point of view. We want to celebrate all the stuff that you guys have been doing as well, because it's actually led in one way to inspiring what we do. And then we just want to pass the mic and have a conversation today, and then we'll be talking around your journey, how you got here, because all of us have six stories, have left different places, had different experiences, careers, what we like, what we don't like, and then just chop it up. And so, like, today's about all of you and us not talking that much, so that's why I'm going to shut up now. But the first thing we're going to do to get cracking is what we normally do.
Obviously, which is what, man?
We'll intro ourselves, and we're going to ask you all what made you smile this week. And then this is just like a little thing just to say how we show appreciation and stay positive about everything that happens in the week. We know, like, it can be very stressful, but there's at least one thing that makes me... I'm even going to remember what made me smile this week as well.
Wow.
Because at times it could take you a while to think back after the week you've
just
had.
So much to smile about, isn't it?
Sometimes, Stephen, you don't even remember what happened, like, 4 hours ago, bro.
Yeah, no.
Anna's laughing to confirm it. That is indeed the case.
To be fair, I'm very forgetful. Sorry, Olive. Like, I have to say this on like, I got to say this on
yeah,
I got to say this on air.
We heard about this situation.
So last week...
Apologies.
So last week when we were sending out...
Okay, you're going to hear right now.
Last week when we were sending out invites, I made the terrible mistake of telling Olive that it was Sunday that we were going to be meeting up. And the Sunday would have been the tomorrow of the Saturday, which was last week. Olive proceeded down here. with Charisse.
No.
Andrea, I'm sorry. Andrea. Are you there as well?
Oh, so God. It happened to you as well.
Oh, God, you were there as well. I didn't even know. I didn't even get to send you an apology. I'm very sorry. So I'm apologizing on air. I really appreciate the fact that you came through today. And I want to apologize in front of everybody. The apology should be as loud as the disrespect. I'm very, very sorry. And I thank you guys for actually coming today. So, let's go around the room. Figure out what made us smile this week. Should we start or should we hand these off?
Yeah, we should start.
Okay, cool, forget. Man. Go on then, bro.
Right, you will forget.
All right, for those who don't know, Stephen. And what made me smile this week, it's an easy one. Obviously, we had several screenings this week.
It was one.
We had several.
I mean,
events.
The screen was that big. It could have been several screens.
Yeah. I had my own screenings. I was inviting people to come and watch it.
This guy and his post-rational. Bruv, we had one. It's calm. You don't need to bullshit.
I had multiple. Anyone listening, we had multiple.
Okay.
But we had screenings in Big Bad Path Cinema. I'm sure the guys will touch on it. But it was amazing to see everybody come down and to see our film in a cinema. And, like, seats were filled. Vibes were immaculate. And it was a lot of fun. And then shout out to Abby, Tessa, and everybody that made that happen.
Go, Abby.
And everybody that turned up for that. So that's what made me smile. I'm going to pass it over to Yafu.
Thank you very much. Very simple. What made me smile this week was being back in Amsterdam. Everyone knows that if I was a bad bee on Instagram, I would have the pin location.
Wow.
London, Amsterdam.
And for the first time, it will make sense, innit? A lot of times people have it and they don't really do both, but you actually do both.
Yeah,
so. That Drake line comes to mind.
Sorry?
Back and forth across the borderline.
You know what I'm saying?
Hate to leave the city, but I got to do the overtime.
That's it.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I'd been in London for a minute. I think the last time I was here was when we were here, like doing the screening, which was about a month ago now. So, just get back to a slower pace of life. See my wonderful lady over there. Mm-hmm. Just seeing my good people from Amsterdam, because I feel like the energy here is very different to what you experience in London. So just to kind of recenter myself, get back here. And that was very simply what made me smile. Are we doing it and then we hand over to everyone else?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. All right. Kwame.
Thank you. What made me smile was, just similar to what the guys have said. You know, this is our third screening, but our first showcase in the actual film cinema, and like it was crazy to have on a Friday night during snow and rain, people still came out, and we like filled up a room of 80 seats. And also Anya said good news that because the film has now got a theatrical release, and now means that we can do more things in terms of like next steps for the film in terms of like budgets and promotion. So that's a good sign. So, and Kieran said it was a happy accident, and it's a lovely feeling to have this energy of us, and also, you know, like today around us, and it's like a real, for me also a real like a full circle moment, because like maybe 2.5 years ago or during lockdown, we met on that famous Friday when the man them were laughably late for our meeting. Yeah,
who was late?
Who's late?
Name and shame.
Everyone that wasn't Kwame.
No. We were here.
Yeah. See?
No, we were here. We were around the way, fam.
No.
We're doing this.
But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, continue.
But it's a beautiful thing to be back at the Panics and, with this important discussion. And so I think I'm the last. No, Kieran's the last one, sorry. Yeah,
last but by no means least.
For sure.
What's been making me smile? The screening, that was dope. That really made me smile. Being back in Amsterdam, man, being with my peoples. Like, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. You know what I mean? Like, you guys covered it for sure. What's up? Oh, God.
No, it's called computer, bro.
While Kieran is dissecting and
solving.
You're right. Has everyone been told about the mic etiquette? All case. Okay.
This is going to keep doing it, bro.
It's very out of home. It's very, very on brand for us.
I feel like this is going to keep doing it.
So, anytime you talk into the mic, you have to, like, project your voice into the microphone. Sometimes Kwame does this. Sometimes I do this. Sometimes Stephen does this. But this is the best way to get your voice heard.
Right, yeah.
You want to speak.
So, we're going to pass the mics around the room. Who'd like to go first and tell us what made him smile?
To Kwame's point, if people don't want to speak on the mic, that's calm. We ain't,
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's no pressure at all.
There's no
man.
Pressure.
You want to go? And you were also a very special guest. I was also here for the screening and then linked up and then came back to show. I'll let you introduce yourself and then what made you smile as well.
Thank you. So I'm AG. Well, what made me smile this week? Let me think. I think, so right now in my life, I'm in a process where it's the very entrepreneur side of myself, which is coming out. And I want to create a business which is in link with my interests, like videography. And I also want to link it with my hometown, so Guadeloupe in the Caribbean. So I'm creating these villas where people can actually go there and make online courses, make e-training. Basically, villas with like filming studios inside. And for this, I'm collaborating with my father. So the thing that made me smile is like just to be able to call him way more often than before, because we have this project where we can really meet together and it feels very good and different. So yeah, that's what made me smile.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I love that. And then any more? Jeez, love that.
Hi everyone, I'm Olive.
Yes, Olive.
What made me smile this week was yesterday I spoke to my mom on FaceTime. I called the house on the weekends, usually all the kids are there, my nieces and nephews. And I was asking her about her growing up in Jamaica. I'm planning to go soon. And I need to know all of my aunts and uncles' names, all my cousins' names. So when I go, I'm not like, hey, it's lovely to see you, you know? So she was going through the family tree with me. She told me that my grandma has like 7 or 8 siblings. All of her siblings have got 7 or 8 children. Wow. So there's many names for me to learn.
Yeah,
but that's
good
made
luck.
Me smile so much. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And that's made me smile.
Amazing.
He's next.
Auntie Abby.
To be honest, I've been smiling the whole week.
Well, since I came back.
Sorry?
Since I came back.
What?
Since I came back.
And no. No, of course, that also. But from out my work, we had a very important week this week. It was the week of Southeast, where a lot of events was organized from out different people from the community and groups, but facilitated by us. And I had basically 2 events that I was coordinating and working on. And one of them on Wednesday, I think that's the thing what made me smile the most, was an all-women's dinner where we were able to bring together 60 women from the community, but also from the corporate side in Southeast. And they had a 3-course dinner. And I was very adamant of making sure that the whole dinner was all done by women. And 2 lovely ladies also came to the rescue that are also here. Tanya and Nina, they provided amazing goodie bags where all the women were so enthusiastic about at the event. And this was grown women. Like, everyone was so excited about the books that were in it. And yeah, I can't go into detail, but... No, I think that was something that really made me smile. I also cried that night, like the ugly cry in front with a mic in front of my face. But but it was happy tears. It was just like very grateful. So I think that really made me smile. And of course, the event with the guys on Friday, which was just very, gave me a lot of energy. So yeah, I hope the smile stays.
Hello.
Anya.
I'm Anya. The snow made me smile on Friday. And that everybody braved it to come and see your screening. And then seeing you 4 on stage, proud, standing there in front of the screen with Pathé and big letters. And
it was
brilliant. I was like a Cheshire cat watching you 4. that was very cool. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Lawyer's ready with the mic. Came from nowhere.
I know. Hi, I'm Lawyer. What made me smile is actually the invite that I got to come here. Because I knew, like, reading that, I didn't know what I'm up for or coming here. But I knew you're going to bring together inspiring women. And I think it's such an honor to get this invite. It's so it's just so cool what you guys are doing. And I really, I don't know, I knew the energy you guys have, you always bring to the table, and it really made me smile when I got this invite. So thank you.
We'll send you the money after. Got you.
Any more?
It will be short and sweet. Hi, I'm Tan. I think what made me smile this week was Kieran.
Oh.
And this is from Nina as well. Like, he's been staying with us, and his energy has just, like, lit up our house. Last night we got back from our friend's birthday, and we was tired, but then we put on YouTube, and then we just started singing to the most random, like, old school tracks. I've lost my voice, and it was just nice to have him. It's just nice to have him around. So you made me smile this week.
Oh,
mate.
Man, thank you, man. No, don't. I'll cry later. I'm not going to say it.
Anybody else want to jump on the mic?
Ooh. Hi, I'm Ria. And what made me smile is I went to Disneyland with my sister for her birthday and my friends.
Which one?
Paris, just the one obviously. Down the
road. Obviously. No, down the road, that's mad.
That's actually so sick that we can say
I've never
that.
I've never been to Disneyland.
Are you serious?
Down the road,
swear down.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Is it magical? Yeah?
Oh, yeah, really? We're going.
Me and... Well, now. Well, confirmed. After some this.
Tell us, isn't it? Tell us things.
At some point, we'll check what's left in the coffers and then...
Nothing.
We broke.
Now, I can also give a bit of context. Unless anyone else has anything that made them smile.
No, good.
All right, come. I can give a bit of context. So we also had a panel talk on Thursday where we spoke to kind of like the next generation, or just people from the community, which also Abby kind of helped to set up as well. And then we had like a really good conversations and the Q&A from that. A lot of people asking about careers and kind of like advice and then networking. And then kind of the inspiration for today was like with that conversation, we wanted to have a similar conversation, but open it out because I think when we were doing that session, it was from our point of view, which is like one perspective. And it got us thinking about, actually, we were curious to find out, like, how is careers, networking, and all the questions that we were asked, how is that from a different point of view? So we just wanted to have an open discussion today and just kind of, like, inspire other people, because I think it was really good to be in that room. Some of the kids, well, I'm saying kids, man's
uncle
out here.
Edit it out.
Some of the kids, like, we met on Thursday, and they were so inspired that they were at the screening on Friday. I think Yaf gave them the details. And he was like, there's one kid that was asking about, when is it? Yaf said, tomorrow. And the kids just, like, instantly checked whatever he was doing. And then it was good to see them on Friday. So I think it's really powerful when we can share our experiences. And, like, it might not mean much to you, but then there's definitely someone listening that's going to gravitate to that. Like, you're starting a project as well, which is dope and amazing. So I just wanted to open it up and just ask, what's it like? Just what was your journey like in terms of, I think all of us have moved from somewhere to come here, but like, what's that journey been like? And what was that decision, that process of making the decision to leave where you're coming from home to come and start off in a new career?
Yeah. To add a little bit of context, because I know we're going to ask that question, then everyone's going to look at each other to see who's going to go first. But when we were having this discussion, and you might have also seen us hiding behind there trying to like align quickly.
As we do.
But I think we spoke, what was it, like not Friday gone, the Friday before that, so about 9 days ago. And we was like, we're all going to be in Amsterdam. We've all got amazing friends and people that we're connected to. Like, let's have a conversation bigger than just us, because as mentioned, we're four guys who have a certain perspective, but we really wanted to open up the conversation and like just get different points of view, because like my little sisters listen to the podcast, but they're listening to a male perspective. You know, I've got other female friends. My girlfriend listens to the podcast sometimes. And that, you know, it's a male perspective. So like, all right, we're all going to be in one place. How can we really get the most out of this conversation? Which is why we're all here, which is why, Lawyer, you didn't know what you was going to be talking about, but you do now. Same to you, Tanya. But yeah, we reached out to all of you because you inspire us.
Yeah.
And I think that word is very overused, but that's how we feel. That's how we feel about everyone, each and everyone here. And we just wanted to like extract a little bit of knowledge, sprinkles of conversations that you guys might have, and hopefully it can, you know, we can pass it on to our audience as well. So that's a little bit more context as to why the fuck we're all here on a Sunday.
Trust me.
So yeah, I know Stephen asked a question like, does anybody want to open up and talk a little bit about their journey, why they're here, and then we'll just have an open conversation from there.
Oh, I love it.
Anya's volunteered herself.
I'll keep it really short. So I'm the oldest by far here. And I've been the longest here, I think, because I've been here 20 years. And I also moved from, it's debatable, I'd say London, but some people say I'm not from London, I'm from Kingston, but it is London, it's the London
KT
borough.
KT postcode, that's what I'm saying. KT, kind
of London.
Olive agrees with me, because she's from Bromley, so we've lived with this kind of, London is not allowing us in, but I moved here for a better work-life balance. I didn't come here with work, I just packed up and moved here with my ex-husband 20 years ago. For me, it's probably the best decision I ever made. Every day I'm grateful for the fact that I live in this country. I know that it has its issues, but it's also given me so much. And my background is that I'm half Polish, brought up by a single mum, a Polish mum. I never was English enough. I was never Polish enough. And ironically here, I'm just Anya. And that's great. So that's what this country's given me. So I'm going to pass it on to the next person.
I was going to ask Annie, you spoke about work-life balance. Sorry, Stephen. For those who are listening, Stephen's basically work. Like giving over the mic, but he has to get up to do it.
A work-life balance, but that's what I bang on about all the time. I think I was going on about it when we met as well. But I think that also for me it was... I love London, and London was amazing to grow up there. And, you know, I'm really into my music. I'm really into subcultures. So London was amazing. But when it came to work, it was not right for me. It didn't match the way I'd been brought up. And so it felt out of sync, and I couldn't chase the money, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't survive in the politics of workplace. It just was just out of sync. And I moved here when I was 30. And I was exhausted, completely ready to do anything but work in the media. I work in the media. And that for me, this place was about focusing on the stuff that you're passionate about without having to chase the money. And I think that's, the Netherlands is quite strange like that and different to London, that you can lead a simpler life here. And if you choose to place more importance on the stuff you're passionate about, or family, like I've got two daughters, Lana's here, you can do that. I don't know if I could live the way I live or do what I do if I was in London. Maybe I could. Maybe I'm being a bit negative about it all. But I think it's, for me, definitely a much healthier, as a 50-year-old woman, it's way healthier than if I'd been in London. Is that answering it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I also feel really weird talking about it so seriously because we banter about these things.
What's a good opening? For everyone around the table, what do you actually do? And for our listeners, what do you actually do, Anya? We obviously know about.
What do I do?
Yeah.
Major imposter syndrome when you ask me stuff like that. I am one of the partners at The Panics, and on paper, I am an executive producer. So I'm meant to produce, but I'm very disorganized. And I'm much better at just coming up with ideas and hustling. And then, I'm not really... told you, imposter syndrome.
And if anyone doesn't know, listening around the world, what is The Panics exactly? Like, what do they do?
You guys are good.
Yeah.
Selling it to me.
So we do, baby.
Yeah, no, The Panics is... on paper, it's a film production company, but I've been here also for 20 years with The Panics. We are, it's an excuse for us to turn our hand to whatever creative thing we want to do. So it's always been about flexibility in creativity. And again, this wouldn't exist in London because you'd have to chase the money. And our measure of success is being able to turn down jobs that we don't want to do. So that's the aim.
I know you just mentioned something that I think I've been speaking to Tan with a lot as well, and I kind of feel it as well. The whole idea of imposter syndrome, like, how do you like combat that? Like, how does that come about? How does it manifest in your like day to day, and then how do you like deal with it? Because it's something I think that we all kind of suffer from in some sort of way, you know.
It's funny, it's talking to you guys that kicks in.
Really?
For some reason. If I'm working, I very rarely worry about what people think about me. And that's probably why I'm at the panics. And I've always been, it's kind of like, I walk my own path. Nobody understood me back home because, you know, people, if they take you at face value, they'll always have an opinion on you. And you can't manage people's opinions on you. You have no influence on what people think of you. So all you can do is just walk your own path and do what you do. So if I'm in a work situation, it's not that I'm confident, I just walk the path, and I do it in this environment because this is my home and my family. When you put me amongst peers like you guys, ladies, that then the imposter syndrome kicks in, because then I'm like, oh, maybe I should be, you know. And it's not about work, it's not about money, it's more about how you live your life. What do you represent as a woman? How much should you, how much knowledge should you pass on? What are your values? What do you get angry about? What do you love? You know, those kind of things. And I always feel like I should be doing more, 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 more. So that's where the imposter syndrome comes in. And maybe, yeah, I've never been very good at blowing my own trumpet. I can blow... I was going to say...
No, let's leave it at that.
We know where you was going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We know
where you was going. We're good, we're good. We're good, but no, but Adia, like you raise a good point. Like you, like Kieran, you said, I think you said this to someone at some point. We all have imposter syndrome, right? But I can imagine people are looking at you and being like the same thing. Like, you know, this is like your workplace that you helped build. You're 20 years in the game. Like, next to you is a person, hello, Lana. Like, it's part of your legacy. Do you understand? Like, you've lived life to a degree. You have two kids, so. It's funny you said that, but in other realms, we could all look at you and think we have imposter syndrome. Like, rah, like this woman's at the same table as us, her table, and we're just here. So, like, long story short, it's all relative, and it's not strange, and it's something that we all have. So,
yeah,
shout out to you
and
everything you've done.
I think it's something that you just have to keep fighting, because I do sound like a broken... I'm going to sit up straight as well, because you can see that I'm going completely bent over. No, it's something that I still battle with all the time, but at least I know that I've done many things correct, and the main one is being in this country, having two daughters, making sure that they're not going to, you know, carry some of the baggage of not being enough that I carry from my background. So that's all right, you know, we keep moving forward. And opening doors, you have to open doors... behind, you know, as you walk forward, keep the doors open for all of you guys as well to come through.
Thank you.
So.
Abby has the mic.
Yeah, no, I think it's very beautiful how open you were, because I think we just begin with the conversation, but you said something which I see as a very feminine thing that happens, in the sense of that a lot of women... around me, I feel, have that more easier than men, for instance, in a professional workspace. And yeah, I'm just curious also what the rest of the group thinks about that, what I just said, because coincidentally, a few weeks ago, I had a conversation with Amber. We saw her on Friday, and I was also expressing to her, like, yeah, I want to do this, but da da da. And she was like, yeah, you can definitely do it. And I'm like, I know, but I first have to do da 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 da. And she's like, why do you have to do all those things? And I said, like, no, but I first have to be able to prove this, have this on paper and that before I go to someone. Like, it's that mindset of, no, I know, I have to mind the details, I have to be prepared, because I know that if I will then be in a hall, for instance, with men when it comes professionally, that's where they more... how do you call it? Mind on details when it comes to women in comparison when it comes to men. Like, I feel that men can more easily be like, yeah, you know, I'll just do it afterwards. If someone, for instance, asks, like, hey, do you have the research to show that? Yeah, yeah, I got it. I will send you afterwards. They don't have it. But I think they might not have that energy and that imposter syndrome the way we as women have it. And that's kind of a conclusion I'm now drawing, but I'm very interested in the rest. I see Olive looking at me like I'm ready. So
I think it's the fear of not doing it right. And I think that's the difference between like guys and girls. Like we want to do every single step so we know we've done it completely right. Everything is 100%, rather than, because I feel you, like my friends be saying to me, why don't you just go and do that idea? Like, that's an amazing idea. You've got the resources. You can talk to different people. But then my imposter syndrome comes like, well, I don't want to ask them for help, or I want to do it all myself so that I can get everything right. And I know for myself that I know the whole process. Yeah.
To add to your point, I don't know if I'm adding. I think what I find is that maybe as women, we're not allowed to toot our own horn, like, as much. Like, we're not allowed to say that, like, yeah, we're sick, like, I'm lit. And I remember listening to, I think it's like an interview or a conversation that Tyler, the Creator, had in Paris with Converse. And one of my best friends sent it to the group chat, and she was like, nah, I need to be like Mandem. Like, he just said, like, I remember him talking to some woman, and she was like, he was like, oh yeah, just do it. And she was saying that it's so interesting because she keeps watching interviews or talks with guys, and they're just like, yeah, like, we're gonna do it. And we don't do that as women. Like, we're always like, oh, I'm not sure. But quite recently, I look back on the things that I do, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm actually kind of good. And my friends are like, no, you're not kind of good. Like, you were good before you even started. And I was like, that, what? But I find it very hard to say, yeah, I'm that guy. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny the phrase, because you even said, I'm that guy.
Precisely.
Which is interesting. Where do you, question to the table, like, why, what do you think of those differences between men and women? Like, why is it that the perception is guys can just go and, like, basically we can not have something, or we can be slightly incompetent, but I don't know, I guess we kind of get past it because we're guys, versus women who have to have every sort of detail buttoned up? Like, what I'm hearing is that men, there's a certain perception of men that allows them to do things and I guess chase after things, that the thought process of women is slightly different, is what I'm hearing.
I don't agree with that. I don't think that we have a different thought process, because I love how organised the ladies here are saying they are. I'm really disorganised. But and I also feel like I have the right to claim whatever I want to do, and I'm happy to make mistakes. This is when it comes to work. See, I'm getting confident now because I'm talking about work. I'm happy to just try stuff without overthinking it. But I do think that, to your point, there is, and to Olive's, there is more of a fear of coming across as weak. That's what holds me back, as imposter syndrome is being late or being sick, or just saying, I'm finding this tricky, or I could have some support with this. That's where it is. Like, when things get difficult, it's actually saying, this is quite hard. Whereas I think men are very good at delegating and going, yeah, you sort that out. You know, I wish I could delegate easier on stuff.
I think as women, or for myself, moving from London to Amsterdam for a new, like, promotional role, I felt like I had something. I felt like I had to.
Yeah, trust me.
See,
trust
I don't even like this. I felt like I had something to prove. Like, imposter syndrome for me is like something I struggle with a lot. Like, I always feel like I'm battling with myself to prove that I can do what I'm being paid and what someone sees in me, which I don't see in myself. And I think that's a massive problem which I'm trying to get over. But there's always something niggling, saying, no, you're not supposed to be here. Like, why are you here? What are you doing here? And as a gay black woman, I don't see many people like myself. So that then triggers me to say, I'm not supposed to be here because there's no one else here like me. So when I don't know, like I'm trying to find my way out of that imposter syndrome mindset, but it's very hard.
I just wanted to ask a follow-up question. You said there's not many people like you in the company that you work for. Do you feel a sense of, I don't even know if responsibility is the word, but do you feel like, you know, that everyone's looking at you as you represent all gay black women?
100%. And that's why I feel like I have to, I feel like I'm proving it to myself, but to also everybody else that is going to come after me. Like, I try and create spaces in my role. Every role that I'm in, I'm like, okay, who can I put on this? Who can I bring in? Because if I'm not doing it, I feel like no one else is. And it's, I feel it's super important. I didn't have anybody to do that for me. So now that I'm there, it's, you hear all the time, you can't be what you can't see. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I never saw it. So, like, I saw Stephen, though. But Stephen's not a gay black woman, but I saw Stephen. Do you know what I mean? Like, I saw Stephen, I saw Yaf, like, I saw people, but they weren't, like, do you know what I mean? They weren't, like, me. Yeah. So, yeah.
Hello.
Introducing.
Yeah, it works. Hi, I'm Anna. I just wanted to add a thought on this conversation. I think there is a component of upbringing that impacts these differences. And I think, I have a hope that in the future it's going to be different because now it's different. But we still were brought up 20, 30 years ago when it was not different. So I think, you know, how you are building confidence as a person, you're building a lot of confidence in how you respond to situations when you're really young. And in many of those situations, at school or in a social circles, at that point, girls were not treated the way that you can do anything, you know, that you can do the sport, that you can actually be fast enough, that you can play football and all of that. So now it's different, and that's why I have hope that in the future it's going to be different, but I just want to bring that point because even when I look at myself, I always had to fight a lot to be considered equal to other guys, and I did fight, and I was there for it, and I'm here for it today too, but not maybe every single person had that in them to do that, actually. So.
Okay, I was going to ask a question, follow-up question. Who else here feels like they need to fight? Because that sounds like it's a daily struggle, almost, or daily battle.
Yeah, 100%.
You agree?
Yeah. I think the fight comes from, like Anna was saying, about growing up. Because, again, I was, I've got three older brothers. I look up to them so much. And the spaces that I wanted to be in were so male-dominated that I had to fight to show that, like, yeah, you guys are guys, okay, that's great. But I'm a big, bad woman, and I can do this too. Like, I've got those skills. I've got the ability to do this. I've got the knowledge to do it. And the fight comes from being seen as, or being felt like you're being seen as not being able to do it. So I guess it's a fight with yourself, really.
Yeah, I actually want to jump in on your last point. It's a fight with yourself. Like, from my perspective, I feel like I never had a fight or had to fight against men, which is interesting. It's probably very different to a lot of people around the table. It was more a fight with myself and actually also with girlfriends. When you're younger, I quickly saw, hey, there's also people that don't want your best, and it doesn't always need to be men. So for me, I actually had the privilege to grow up in a household with my mom, who was always having my back and who was always saying, hey, you're the best. You're, like, really giving me everything that I needed. And I think that made me very strong. And being the person who I am, not questioning whether I'm a woman in a room. But I do know it's very different. And it has to do with upbringing and with the educational system. We're still not there. I don't think actually it has changed as much as it should be. I also do think there's the social media element to it. I'm not a big fan of social media because generally I do think there should be more education to it. I think that also that gives a lot of imposter to you. Of course, there are good elements to it. I just think it can also bring you down. So, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
No, but thank you. No,
or where I ended.
No, like you definitely went somewhere, and like you raise a. I think you raise a really good point, and even what Anna and Tanya said, like, you know, Tanya, you said, like, you're the only gay black person in your role, and I think everyone else here, you know, Anna, you have family who are, like, in Slovakia and Czech Republic, so, like, there's a lot of pressure with upbringing. What I mean by that is that if someone meets you, Tanya, you could be the first person of that ilk that they've met. When someone meets you, Anna, you could be a whole representation of everything that country kind of like stands for. So if they meet a person from that country, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's because I met this person. It's like, no, that's just one person, you understand? But we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And you made a good point just now, lawyer, like social media is a great place, it's also a very toxic place. And I think now, not just with the generations like Lalana's and above, but even our generation, you only see the finished product in it. And you see a lot of things that looks clean, polished, almost perfect in it. So sometimes you're like, raw, like, we have it as well. Like, you know, like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like a lot of times I see collective, I see podcasts, so, and I'm guilty of it. First thing I do is I look at the numbers, the followers. You understand? I'm sorry. Like, it's true, innit? You understand? I'm like, raw. Yeah, no, but it's true, innit? Yeah, like, and it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, but I think there's all things that we can share or that we can... that we share that are negative, positive. And I would say one thing as a man, and I'm aware of this thing, like, hopefully I'm just be honest, like, I've never had to go to a conference and be, like, afraid of my outfit. Do you understand? Like, my only thing, I'm trying to think of a haircut. If I ain't got a haircut, then I feel clapped, I feel dead. But other than that, I feel good. But, and I think for women, it's not just dress, it's manner. I can imagine there's so many things. Obviously, I'm very aware that I'm a man speaking on a wild experience. But yeah, so I just, if anyone wants to touch on, you know, sometimes some of the things they have to
appearance.
Yeah, appearance. Yeah, just has that ever come up? Or?
Yeah, I've had that a lot of times. Oh, sorry, I thought. I've had it a lot of times, especially, so I work in the social field, but also kind of on the edge of it. Sometimes it's kind of political, but especially when I used to work at office in the municipality and in general now, I also mind very much on what I'm wearing, like where am I going to now? And also body wise, in terms of fit, that I'm conscious of the fact that, in general, men will find my body attractive. So a lot of times I'm so conscious of it when I go to work or if I have some meeting or something that I know I will be around men, like, what will I wear? Because I just don't want people to think of anything else than what I have to tell or what I want to achieve. So sometimes it's even like you really have to just think about it, like, oh, okay, let me just wear this blouse, even though I really want to wear a maxi dress today. But I mean, a maxi dress is not gonna it's gonna do the opposite. So yeah, it's things like that you just think about. It just has like different dimensions that come onto it. But I actually also I just took the mic because I was thinking of asking you guys a question, because Yefu asked a question about, like, did you feel like you had to fight? But I was wondering, did you guys ever witness a woman having to fight in the workplace and being conscious of the fact that, oh, whoa, I think now it's like a woman male thing happening and it's not fair. Did you guys ever witness that?
Yeah, I feel like, especially a lot more earlier in my career, especially in like corporate, you see it a lot more where like someone might be speaking and then like they get either cut off or they'll say something and then a man might say it again and then everyone listens to what the man has said instead of the woman. Like, it's like corporate gaslighting, do you know what I mean? And like, sorry, go on.
No, because the next question was also, what did you do? Or what did anyone else do?
I'm very like aware of those things. Like, very like, I wouldn't ever just let that pass. So I'd probably just be like, yo, so-and-so was speaking. Or I'd revert back to be saying like, oh, okay, if the guy had said the same thing twice, but oh, that came from, you credit the person that it came from. But I think that's just because of the way that I was raised anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I speak on this podcast a lot about my mum. And like, my mum is a big like role model and just like taught me certain things about the way that you should move throughout this world. And I think when it comes to the rights of a woman or just like protecting women, I think I get that from my mother. So I would always say something if that was the case. But I don't know. I think everyone would, to be fair.
I've seen, I remember at a company I was at before, like there was a VP and people would call her like a pit bull in a skirt. No, she's just a pit bull in it, bro. Like she just has an aggression, but it's almost,
what?
And it, like, as in, pardon?
What?
Have you heard a phrase before? A pit bull in a skirt.
Have you heard that?
Okay, that's a phrase.
Cool. Yeah, people heard it before.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think it's like a 50-50, but yeah, it's a phrase.
Wow.
So basically, what that means is that like, she was very like aggressive and dominant, but from a man, it's almost like, oh, he's a big boss. Which is when you hear that, it's almost like it's praise.
Yeah.
But when it's the other way, it's like, oh, she's, you understand? And it's like, and it's because it's also negative because you got to think, but what about people in the company that, or your younger women, if that's the only sign of leadership, that's the kind of thing they have to gravitate towards to, which is tough. You know, someone could be a really gentle person that has a lot of skills and attributes, and it's like, rah, I can only get to, my voice is breaking, I don't know why, I can only get to certain levels if I, and that's a terrible thing to teach. Now, obviously, you know, now there are a lot more roles shared by men and women of all types of personalities, but I think when I heard that, I was like, rah, that's a bit, no, I didn't say anything, I'll be honest with you, but I just felt that I felt it was a bit off, do you understand? Mm-hmm. And not to compare, but again, but like, I feel that we're at a level where people are just starting to realise that people are brilliant because they're brilliant. It's not because, oh, she's a woman. Oh, he's a black man. Mm. No. He just happens to be that. You understand? Or they just happen to be that. Like, Anna's Anna because she's Anna. Like, Stephen is Stephen because he's Stephen. You understand? It's like, it's not a remarkable thing that person is other. It's remarkable just how remarkable they are. It's very simple, but you know what I mean, innit? So, time on that.
No, I was just gonna say, I've seen it a couple of times in like real life meetings where like there might be a group of guys and then they start riffing on one topic and it comes like a almost like an exclusive couple. And just looking around the room, then you kind of see like some of the women in the room like just literally deflate a little bit because they know that this is a conversation that they're not gonna be invited in. So I think seeing that, I think maybe it's like a year and a half ago or something like that, and then like since then I try not to speak first or to try to like gauge the room and make sure that the mic is part. And I also feel like doing the podcast as well has helped to like, because we speak to a lot of people, some people have the confidence to speak straight away, some people need to be warmed up into a conversation, but everybody's got something to offer. So I think you've got to find, I think people don't teach that in the workplace enough, like the skill of like mining conversation from people around the table. We tend to divert to those people that are like loudest voice or are able to fight their way to make a point or to land a point. And we've all been on calls where it's become like a, almost like a boxing match of like who can land the point or who can deliver it in a way more authority, and like that alienates a lot of people. So I think like just being very conscious now in meetings, like being conscious of like, okay, cool, if someone hasn't spoken or pointing out, or just being more conscious and aware of those things, I think is like something that impacted or I took away from those scenarios, but it definitely still happens, and it's a little bit sad to see that still happening. Sometimes it's not intentional, it's just when you've been used to things in a certain way, you go on autopilot and you go there. But I feel like I've got a role to put people to the side and just say, oh, are you aware of this? Or if I notice that there's a woman that hasn't been listened to in that meeting, then I'll go after the meeting and I'll just say, look, spend time to hear the idea out and say, okay, cool, yeah, okay, let's try and get on the agenda for the next meeting or something, or call it up. Because I feel like it's important that that person feels like they've been seen or heard or valued, otherwise it can be very demotivating, I imagine.
I think like my experience is seeing and hearing a lot of women just being sexualized in the workplace. I think that's like the... I remember, I must have been, I don't know, like 26-ish, no, 25, new to this environment, and like hearing, you know, like older, more respectable, let's say, people, more senior people making certain comments. And I didn't join in on it. I didn't say anything, like, you know, when you heard the comment about your pitbull in a skirt.
Yeah.
But because I've got my own presence of mind to know that's not how you should do things, I was like, all right, cool. But imagine I was an impressionable young intern who's seeing men operate in this way and think, okay, cool, like, I have to be part of the boys' club in order to like really feel part of this culture. I think that whole notion of boys' club is something that still exists pretty much everywhere. And, you know, like, we work in more progressive industries, I would say. You know, we don't work in finance or in banking, where some of those things are, like, times 100, you know? Yeah. So I think the sexualization of women is one thing that idiot men just can't get out of their head. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a kick to them. It's like that's how they bond. And then the second thing that I wanted to say is that my sister, who is 20, she's working on a uni project, and a guy said to her recently that she hasn't been delivering, and the only reason no one said anything to her is because she's pretty. And she didn't really know how to handle that. So she came home and she was obviously really upset, and like it obviously affected her self-image as well. And so I think when I heard that and we had a discussion, it's like men have such an important role to play in how they can, to Stephen's point, like enable and facilitate safe spaces for women in those spaces. And I think I don't think we're conscious enough of it. I know you was about to say something, Anya, so I'll let you say your piece and then I'll ask a question to the group.
I think you should carry on, because I wanted to make one point, but your second point is better than the point I was going to make. Okay. So.
My question was just going to be, like, what can men do to, I guess, number one, be more aware, but how can we create these spaces where women feel respected, they feel empowered, and they can deliver and do their best work? Like, what would your message be? Because we can't answer that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sorry. I think I have to commend you guys, because you're opening up this conversation and giving more visibility to what can be done for women and to allow them to be empowered. Like, I think there are a lot of talks and, like, all sorts of events and stuff which aren't just specifically for women. They're about women. Like, we went to one a couple of weeks ago. It was about women in the music industry, and there was no men there. So if you don't appear, if you don't show up, if you don't come to listen, then you're never going to know what can be done. It's an audience full of women, and the women are very, very, like, we were just like, we've heard this so many times. The conversation's like, same conversation over and over again, which we know, but if men aren't in those audiences, then there isn't going to be any change. It's just going to be the same conversation that we have with ourselves. It's like talking to yourself, you know? So I think that would be like a good start. Not necessarily for you guys, because you've opened up this space for us, but for men listening.
I think it's also a bit of a catch-22 because, like, women didn't make the patriarchy, so we can't dismantle it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, we need you guys, as much as you're saying, like, it's not for us to do that. Like, I think it's important to, like, listen to what women are saying and then, like, act on that because, yeah, we can't take it apart because we didn't create it. Yeah, so it's a tricky one, I think.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's also a matter of representation. Like, just if you are able to, let's say, if just like a business owner is just able to hire women, then they should just do it. Because afterwards, like, I'm thinking about also the subject, like what you said about representation, like appearance. And I was just thinking how, for example, just a simple fact, like, I was searching for producing jobs, and I would, like, the first thing I would look in a company, first, are there black people? Second, are there women? And when there are even, like, black women, I'm just like, wow, incredible. Like, because it's double, because obviously I'm a black woman, so seeing people like me is, like, it comforts me, and I'm just like, oh, I'm welcome there. So, so there is this thing, and also I also felt like a lot of the time when I had to apply for a job, and especially in the industry, like in the film industry, especially like video editors, it's so, like, there are so many males like there, and I was really often in this position where I would just, like, I would adapt myself and my appearance upon that. So because I can be more masculine, I can be more feminine, and I would just, like, depending on the interview I would have, I would just, like, change upon that, which is fine with me because I sort of learned to sort of deconstruct my own, like, my own perception about myself, and I just think about myself much more as a fluid sort of, I don't know how to call it, fluid energy, fluid appearance, I don't know how you can call it. But I sort of learned to sort of detach myself also from the male gaze at first to be able to, like, sort of take on this appearance if I want to. And, yeah, if maybe someone, I don't know, wants to, like, relate to that. Or
That is perfect because I've been thinking that the one thing I'm learning is that, like you said about, like, the pit bull and the skirt, I feel like with women we're either soft or we're masked, and it's like we're not allowed to be both or in between or a bit of both or sometimes one and sometimes the other or completely one or completely the other. It's either, it's like you're a bitch, yeah, or you're dominant, yeah, or you're weak.
Yeah.
And I think what is helpful is if we all understand that we are allowed to be both, or everything and nothing,
yeah,
and everything in between, because there are times where I'm learning that as women, there's certain things that happen to us that are just normal, and it allows us to process things a different way. And I think respecting the fact that, like, I don't want to say periods, but, like, for us, I'm starting to understand that if you we have certain things about us that allows us to think a different way and use that information a different way, and understanding that, like, sometimes a woman's going to be really emotional or sometimes she's going to be really assertive. It doesn't make her one way, it doesn't make her another way, it just makes her a person that has both or everything.
No,
inside. I don't know if that makes any sense. I feel like you always have to pick a side, and also understanding as a woman that, like, there are times where, I don't know if you say you want to use that, pretty privilege or something, but, like, I think it's just about understanding that women are multi.
Yeah.
There's so many dimensions to us that you can't just say that, like, she has to be this or she has to be that. Like, We just are what we are.
No, I think you make a really good point. I think as human beings also, we are walking contradictions and we should allow to be. Like, we could have chats with someone's like, oh, I remember last week you said that. Yeah, I said that, but I've changed my mind because I was very wrong. You understand? Very wrong. But I also think it just comes down to intelligence. And when I say that, I'm saying this on purpose because hopefully I've triggered, like, you think, oh, like, brain power, smarts. Like, there's a lot of intelligence, right? It could be, like, business, critical. But I think what's crucial here is emotional, right? Like, there's some things that I'm always amazed at the gall or the ironically, the balls of people to say certain things. I'm like, how have you thought something and it been able to leave your mouth and you think it's been okay? So, like, you know, like, even after the comment you made about Jadeen, like, that person's okay to say it, but, like, there's some things that you have to think about how you say them and why you're saying them, right? And I think we've all received them, but is there an example where the women in the room have been on the receiving end of a comment which it might have not been super offensive, but it either floored you or took you by surprise? I think so. Sometimes you might have heard something which is so strange. It's like you're not even outraged. You're like, oh, I'm just confused. Yeah. It's like, is this happening now? Has there ever been a time in your careers where you've just been taken aback by a comment? It could be on a multitude of. I'm just wondering. And there's no right or wrong, but yeah, I mean,
I can give it like a. It's not even a funny example. Well, this is when we were on campus, and then me and Kwame went to get some food, and just happened to be chicken. And then the lady at the cafeteria, when she served Kwame Calm, came to me and was like, chicken? I was like, in my mind, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get a chicken, but like, you didn't need to assume that's what I was going to get. Like, little comments, obviously that's a very different example, but like sometimes, like, in the workplace, comments are made which just don't sit right. And then to Kwame's point, because kind of it's a very interesting read into someone's mind as to how they projected that or their thought process, or there may be like things that you've heard commonly. And I think it's important just because now from this session, if we kind of hear those things or hear that, it helps us to also pull people to side or to uphold some sort of standards as well. So like, yeah, I'm curious if there's any kind of comments that come up.
I think working in a corporate environment, especially like at a headquarters level, where there's so many different kinds of people, you're going to face microaggressions every single day. But I've got to a point where I just kind of shut down. I don't even respond. And sometimes I fight with myself. I'm like, I should say something. Why am I not saying something? But then that just takes me backwards, because then, like, I'm constantly thinking about it. I've got work to do. I've got more work to do. Like, and I feel like some people, I see people like David, for example, that would see me not say anything. I'm like, why won't you say something? Like, why are you not speaking up? And it's like, how many fights am I supposed to fight?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a struggle, but like, you have to pick them very, very wisely. There's some that you're going to just, also you don't want to be the angry black woman at work. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be like aggressive and all of these things that people like will consider you to be. So the fight in my head of like, should I say something? You want to like inspire those that are coming after you to feel like they can speak up, but because of the amount of fights that there are, you just have to like, I don't know which ones to choose and which not to, and I'm figuring that out too. There's a lot of things I'm figuring out.
It's interesting what you were saying, because I'm also, as an older woman listening to you guys, obviously when I started work, it was just the world of adults, how they talked, men and women, and kind of, you know, I also worked in light entertainment in television, so I could give you some unbelievable stories of what I just accepted as the world of adults. But what's interesting is you ladies talking about, if we talk about pit bull in the skirt, and there's me saying I work here and this is my world for the last 20 years because I can be myself. And that's absolutely the case for me. I was not willing to compromise my identity in a corporate environment because that was the only path I could see, was I had to become a pit bull in a skirt if I was going to rise up or achieve stuff. And I just wasn't willing to do that. So it's interesting to kind of hear it identified, because I've always thought, oh, maybe I should have been more ambitious. Maybe I should have stuck with it. But actually, it's about being able to be flexible, as you said, in how you are. Sometimes you're, you know, more emotional, or sometimes, you know, you're feeling really on point and very strategic. And, you know, and I think that's also, the older I've got, the more I've understood the power of women and kind of what an amazing thing it is when you can harness that and not feel like it's a weakness, but actually go with it. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I also think you four, you know, Kieran, you did a thing on your Insta a couple of years ago when that girl got killed by the policeman in London. I thought that was a really bold thing. You kind of called out to, you know, the men that were following your Insta and saying, you know, we have a responsibility as men to do our own bit to make the world a bit safer for our sisters, our mothers, our daughters, our girlfriends. And I remember showing that to somebody, a man that was in my life at the time, and I was like, oh, this is amazing, like, for this generation to be brave enough to say this, which would have been perceived as quite weak and, yeah, pathetic in my generation. And the man is in his mid-50s, said, yeah, well, I'm not sexist. It was just like an instant reaction of, like, defending himself. Whereas I was like, no, but, you know, it's a responsibility that's being taken on by this younger generation. They're like, this is amazing. This is how things are going forward. So I do see things progressing, because definitely in my generation, it's very defensive. If you talk to men about stuff like this, it will be really about the fact that they're not doing anything wrong, rather than trying to understand how they could be brave enough, bold enough to call out when something's not right. Although I have to say, you'd be amazed how much I get told off in this workplace if I comment on a man's ass. I get told off straight away that I'm, in fact, my daughter will call me out on it as well.
And does it happen a lot?
I might appreciate a round bottom, Abby, what can I say? But I love the fact that it's absolutely not acceptable for me to do it. And I feel like I've got so many points that I've got like get out of jail cards, about, I don't know, 100 comments that I could make before somebody can tell me. So I was quite curious if you guys think that's out of order or not. It is. So you think my daughter, yeah, because she calls me out on this all the time.
I think, personally, again, with the not like people seeing you a certain way, and it's like now you have to take on that, basically how they film. So, for instance, one of my friends, he's like a really muscular guy. In fact, I find it quite interesting when like guys that are really muscular, really tall, really big, are like, I don't want to be this big, scary man that you see. I'm just a person that goes to the gym regularly, and that's it. Like, sometimes I want to be the little spoon, do you know what I mean? And I remember making a comment about someone's arms, and I was like, oh my god, because you're like big and strong. And he was like, actually, and then he checked me, and I was like, do you know what, that is absolutely my bad, because best believe if someone said anything about my body, I'd shut down, I hate it. So I feel like if someone says something sexual, if I'm saying something sexual to somebody and it's not like, it's, that's the vibe, absolutely they should check me, because I wouldn't take it. And I'd be like, excuse me, don't talk to me like that. You know what I mean? So I could understand how, like, as women, we're like, oh, it's not that deep, it's fine. But we should be a bit sensitive to thinking that somebody might not actually like it. Like, fair enough, yeah, they're a guy. Fair enough, men are, I guess, apparently more sexual than men or whatever. But, yeah, some people really might not like it.
Sorry. So the younger generation is getting it, because you're pulling a face, Lana, but every time you say to me, you can't say that, Mum, and every time I'm like, yes, I can, and you're like, no. So it is. It's good, I think.
Lana knows best. You're going to say something, have you?
No.
No, I wanted to respond on the question that was being asked about, like, what can we do to change it? And I think Anya also made that point, because what first came into my head was basically that I think men should start by kind of admitting, like, maybe I am still doing certain things that can, you know, harm the safety of a woman. Because I think that's just the first step to just accepting, like, yeah, maybe I still have certain subconscious things that I do that make women feel a type of way. And I think also just be more mindful. And also, if you see your friend do something and you recognize, like, oh, in the behavior, I think that females just not feeling comfortable or safe, that it's okay to either check your friend, but also just be like, you know, to women, to just check in once in a while and be like, are you feeling okay? Like, do you need me to walk with you? Do you need some help? Like, I can get my other, you know, my female friend to walk with you. Just certain things like that. So yeah, I think that's maybe I don't know.
I think Anna's going to add a point to that.
Plus one to Abby. No, I actually wanted to say when the question was like, ask what you can do taking responsibility, that was my answer to that in my head, especially because sometimes for women you feel like you never get it right. Like, if you wear just your tracksuits, you're not feminine enough. If you wear a dress, you're too provocative, you know? Like, there's like all these opinions about everything you do, and it's just like this pressure of all the opinions that's a bit overwhelming at times if you let it get into your head. So I think it's also for us women just to protect our peace and not let other people's opinion always to get into our head. But then you asked the question, Kwame, about like, when did you get a comment that you like literally was so absurd you got confused? So yes, I did. And I once, and it was one of, it's sad because it was one of my first working experiences. So I'm kind of still thinking how much it shaped me, but I was at work, doing my work, and did great work, and I got great feedback, apart from the fact that the man said, I'm not smiling enough at work. And I looked at him, and I'm like, how do you measure this? Or how do we, like, I was very confused about that comment. I never understood it. I left the company after, not just because of this, but because there were a couple of other, it was just not the right culture. And actually, very recently, in one of the, now this is like, well, 15 years later from the moment, I got feedback that I smile a lot. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm overcompensating. Yeah. But like, is this actually a comment that you guys are getting? You know, how much you smile or, you know, this type of stuff? Because sometimes I feel like I'm going back to my point. It just feels like there's opinion about everything about women, you know? From the clothing to how you behave, how you talk, too aggressive, too little. And I'm not sure how to change this, and I'm not sure it has to be changed because I actually like to be women. But my thing is, like, let's just think of us as humans, you know, and just treat with respect. I think that that's my number one thing. Treat with respect whatever you're saying. You wouldn't want to be told that comment, or, you know, just check yourself sometimes with this type of stuff. Help your mate to see it, basically.
It's funny because on the flip side with men, I've seen it whereby if a guy doesn't like to present or, you know, be like the loudest in the room, that he can't be a leader. He's too meek, or he's too passive. And I feel as though there's certain perceptions of what makes a strong man that sometimes men have to kind of like fall into the trap of, even if they don't necessarily align with those ways of thinking. And yeah, please don't feel sorry for me, but I think there's also like a pressure on men to be a certain way in order to be successful, quote unquote. And, you know, like an example of, again, like presenting or being confident. Those are things that by default, in a certain setting, men just have to be, otherwise they're not gonna be considered for the next promotion. They're not gonna be considered as the next leader. And that ultimately affects their quality of life. They don't end up making as much money. They don't end up getting as much opportunities. And I think that's really interesting, that men always have to, and again, I'm not asking anyone to feel sorry for us, but there's an interesting requirement of men as well to be successful.
Yeah, I think it goes to Nina's point in terms of this. A lot of systems have been set up by men, so like the characteristics of that role. Like I had like at work, I had like a review, and for those that know me, you know, I pride myself on being a nonconformist. Like, I will say my mind, and like before they even got to the review, I was just like, I know how this is gonna go. You guys are gonna talk to me about Oh, was I smiling? Was I happy? Was I in the mood? And then I went on off and just said, look, sometimes if I'm pissed off, I'm allowed to be pissed off. As long as I'm not rude to anybody, offending anyway, that's completely fine. And, like, because they had these standards of, like, what I needed to be or what just... My mood can change up and down. That's just me. That's just me. And so, like, when you were saying that, yeah, it's interesting because there are certain standards and characteristics. Like, I don't like presenting all the time, because I say to Kwame, like, our meetings are boring. It's just long. So I'm like, I don't want to speak. It's just long. I'd rather be watching cartoons or something else. Don't need to present. But like, there's this kind of like, oh yeah, you need to do this. And like, it's like really token gestures, or like, we have this leader, you've got to say, you've got to present for 5 minutes because that's your big opportunity to be seen. So I just replied that, like, I don't want to be seen. Yeah. I'm happy in the back. I don't want to be seen. So I think it's like interesting, like some of these things are set up, and then you kind of get coaxed into thinking that that's what you need to be, or there isn't. And I think it comes down to like representation. If you see different types of leaders, some that, like even when I first joined the company, I was, compared to what I am now, I was quiet. Like, I didn't say anything. But at the time, I remember getting like chastised, like, oh, you're not speaking enough, you're not vocal enough. Yeah. And then now they're complaining that I'm too vocal. So
shouldn't have never let them inside.
But yeah, it's just interesting picking off that point in terms of like the characteristics set there, and then just ways on how to break that. I think it just needs a changing of the guard, like in terms of like those people at the top, and then like you said, the new generation come through that obviously know these things and know better, that they need to be in positions of authority so that they can actually carry out the change that needs to happen, because whilst people still occupy those roles, those thoughts are still gonna be prevalent as much as people want to change.
Can I ask a question to someone on this table here, if she wants to answer? Because we're talking about a lot about the new generation. What do you feel of this conversation? Or is there maybe something that jumped out for you?
Well, I think it's just really inspiring to see so many women. But also, I'm quite like disappointed that not much has changed. Because there's still a lot of sexism, like, around, especially at my school, definitely. Because there's, like, for example, if we were in PE, it's like, oh, can I have a few strong boys to help carry this?
Wow. Lana, just for context, what year are you in and how old are you?
I'm 14, okay, so I'm in the second year of secondary school.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it's also, I got told at primary school there was this boy that kind of bullied me a bit. Not a lot, but I would always get told, he just likes you. Like, he has a crush on you. That's why he's doing it. Like, that may be a reason, but it's not an excuse.
Well said.
I think that's beautiful said. And I think it's also very nice that you are capable to reflect on it this way. And also very strong that you're able to recognize little things like that. So I hope it also gives you the power to know that you will fight it and you will be fine. But I'm very sad also that, like you said, that you also still see certain things that we might experience, that we might think that have changed, but you are basically saying like it's still there and you still see it.
Can I ask a question? Was you about to say something? I just wanted to ask a question. So I think we're talking a little bit about like sexism, discrimination, etc. If someone says some like borderline racist shit to me in a professional environment, you guys know me, I'll say something like crazy, sarcastic or intelligent to make them feel mad stupid. Like, that's my go-to tactic. But what is what do you guys do? If someone says something that's out of place, if the PE teacher says, I need some strong boys, like, how can you as a woman correct people without coming across like the angry black woman? Or like, do you guys have any tips or any things that have worked well for you in those spaces where you're trying to correct people's actions and words?
So I can talk about a situation that I had at work where I actually wanted to correct someone. So there was an intern asking in an open room office, because I wanted to have the windows open and then I wanted to have it closed because I had my period, and that's happening. You get warm, you get cold. So I just wanted to have it open and closed. And then that intern basically asked very loud, are you pregnant? It was in front of my manager. It was in front of, I don't know, 5 people. And I said, hey, I want to react really calm to you now, but I want you to know you're never going to ask this question again, because there are women who can't get pregnant. You are asking this in front of my manager. What if I was pregnant? What if I don't want it? Well, like, there's all these things. I don't think he will ever do that again. I put himself back into a very awkward position, but I just needed, I felt I needed to educate him so he doesn't do that again. I think it's answering with respect and trying to, as much as you're very heated in that situation and you like you want to cry or whatever happens to you, but it's just being aware of that education, that educational moment.
I think it goes back to my point that I was saying previously around picking the battles and not knowing, like, deciding when is the best time to speak up and when isn't. And, like, I think we're in an environment in a world where you kind of have to clap back. Like, everything needs to be swift, like, quick. Yeah, that was a good clapback, that kind of thing. And I'm just not that kind of person. Like, I'm quite introverted. I speak when I know I have something to say. And I think we shouldn't be afraid to pause and, like, take it in, digest it, think about what you're going to clap back with, and then put it in an email or say, can I give you some feedback, like, a day, 2 days later? Because as that angry black woman, I'll be penalized for clapping back and saying something that I'm going to regret. And I don't think in the environments that I can be in that it's going to be received well. So sometimes I have to just be like, okay, I'll go home and speak to Nina about it. Or do you know what I mean? Like, you bring the people that you know you, mm-hmm. and can support you with some, like, certain conversations to the table and help you to kind of combat what you kind of been through. Do you know what I mean?
And if I can add something, I think, especially in environments where they sort of promote, like, this inclusivity and just being able to be who you are and all of this vocabulary, this sort of cloud of words that some institutions or organizations use, like, you feel like you almost, like, you shouldn't say anything because they thought about it before. They thought about you, that you should feel great because they have a diversity officer and all kind of people who are supposed to be there for you to feel good. And I really strongly felt that when I was studying, like, in a design school in the Netherlands. Because it was also design and art, I think there is this sensitivity. Like, I felt I was very in an environment where like, all of these were very much important because there was this sensitivity and everything. But at the end, there was the same problem as in every other institutions. So I felt it was even, like, more difficult to address them because they wouldn't accept that there were, like, really, like, big problems. But they would say, no, like, we did everything for you to feel good. Why do you feel? Why don't you feel good?
Those words or those inclusivity officers is basically some in some kind of way weapons that they have in their back. Like no, but it's not the case because we have this, we have this, we have this.
It's almost like sugar coating. I felt, and my way to respond to that was to be. To really sort of, you know, like it's something you said about smiling. And this is the my answer most of the time wasn't to just like go on the same ways as them and like smile and be like super. No, I was like, this is it, you know. And I felt that that was my response for this and just being like roughly myself. that was it, yeah.
Yo, go on.
I wanted to. Sorry, no worries. I wanted to actually ask a question. I know we might be actually maybe starting to wrap up slowly, but I have a question. And before that, I also wanted to clear my name a bit. So when I said I was fighting, it was not physical fight. Just saying, you know, I was reflecting. This is a record.
I think, just to be clear,
no physical fighting. But the question was, because I love the conversation, but we also touch on a lot of topics that are a little bit more like differences or maybe challenges, but at the same time there is a lot of great things we can do, and also we're just human at the end of the day, so regardless of differences and the topics we discussed, like there are things we've done that we are proud of. And I just wanted to know, because this is a unique opportunity to sit at this table with all these women, like what is something you've done you're proud of, and just being able to vocalize it as well.
Yeah, that's where I was heading.
Okay, I'm glad,
because I was feeling, I was sitting and just like listening. Obviously I haven't really said much today because I really wanted you guys just to have an open forum to talk and just like listen to each other and for us to listen to you guys too. But the like one of the main reasons why we brought you around this table today is because a lot of you guys, all of you guys are doing amazing things in your lives, and like we really wanted to like champion some of that shit as well, you know. So to Anna's point, yeah, we'd love to like hear some of the things that you're proud of, the things that you're doing outside maybe, or like just things you're doing in your life that you think are just like, you know, dope. Yeah, so I know I can tell y'all, but I'd rather y'all talk for me. So yeah, I'm gonna hand the mic over to someone.
It's funny because it kind of circles back to a point we had earlier around like tooting your own horn.
Yeah. I mean,
et cetera, et cetera.
We've got designers in the house. We've got DJs in the house. We've got makers. We've got all this, everybody in this house. So please talk, tell us, man. You don't got to be shy. Like, well, I love that.
Yeah, go on, Olive. Oh,
man, like, please.
One thing I'm trying to do is get over this imposter syndrome stuff. So
yeah,
here I is. Hello.
Let's go.
So one thing I'm super proud of, and before I talk about like my career and stuff, I'm super proud that, in fact, this is kind of about my career, that my career inspires my nieces and nephews. They're like my favorite people in this world.
Amazing.
And one of them is, he loves trainers. Everything he does, anytime I'm in London, he asks for my iPad. He asked me to go onto Google or Nike.com and screenshot a picture of a shoe, and he's drawing on it. He's finding images from the latest movies that he's watched. He's cutting them out on Procreate and pasting them on and decorating them and making, basically doing Nike ID, really, for himself, but like the most custom, beautiful things. And that makes me super proud because that's exactly the type of things that I used to do when I was younger. And I looked up to my brother when he was drawing, and it's elevated into my career now. And my career is that I am a designer. Everything I am wearing today,
come on,
is a bit of me.
Come on.
Which is amazing to me that I can create my own clothes. And that makes me super proud because, like we were talking about body image, I'm able to create the clothes that make me feel good, that make me look good, and that make others look good too. So I'm super proud.
Wavy. Jeez.
Thanks. Anyone else?
Sorry, I feel like I've been. I'm gonna put you guys on blast if you don't take the mic.
That's talking too much. I am, and maybe that's a very female thing to say, I'm actually most proud of being a mum to my two daughters, because having two daughters is fucking brilliant. I'm a single mum, for both of them. And I think that what's really cool about it is my mum was a single mum and she inspired me so much because she achieved, she never complained. She always said it was her power and her strength that she could be, have me all to herself. And I kind of feel like that with the daughters as well. It's like you stand on your own two feet, have joy in life, do the things you're passionate about. I'm super lucky, or I don't know, maybe I've just made good choices that I get to do work that I'm really, really passionate about with like-minded souls for the right reasons. So I have joy with work. And then I also just have absolute respect and just look at my daughters in awe and just can't wait to see what they're going to do with their lives. So that's what I'm most proud of.
Amazing. Oh, you got the mic, have you? Lovely. I've been waiting to get you guys on the pod for ages. Yeah, I think so.
We better make sure.
I'm proud of a lot of the things that I do, but I call myself humble. We was having a conversation about it a couple of weeks ago. I say I'm just humble, like I don't really like to talk much about what I do. And I've realised that that is a product of imposter syndrome, which is very, very mad. I am a brand marketeer. The role that I'm in right now is the role that I wanted to do. So although it's been quite a long journey, I feel very accomplished. And now I'm kind of like, shit, what's next? Because this was as far as I can see myself. Outside of just... it's just vibes. I want to bring people together. I want to create. I want to make people feel good and feel happy and feel loved. And like myself and my partner, Nina, who's sitting right next to me, we create stuff. Like we create...
everything.
I don't even know what we're still trying to establish what it is. I don't know if you want to share anything. Well, we don't know. We just like, we want people to feel when they receive from us. Like Abby obviously commissioned us for her women's event. We made goodie bags. We're just kind of creatives that like to turn our hand to like that cherry on top of anything that anybody is doing, like in events. Like if you want that extra va-va-voom, then come to us and we'll try and create something for you. And Nina's obviously got her camera here. She is a very amazing photographer. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of her photography coming soon.
Amazing. Yeah, man. Come on, man. Bree. No? That's cool, man.
I'll quickly share as well. I think I might be on the scale of corporate jobs, the most corporate from the group, but I still want to share because maybe there are listeners that are thinking of corporate jobs as their career, and that's good as well. So I work in e-commerce and Nike as well. Started about 8 years ago, and now I'm leading a team of people, and I think that what I'm proud of is when you lead people, when you are like managing people, you really can have impact on their lives. So sometimes it's this one good career advice that you give to them or you help them overcome something that they struggle with and it changes the trajectory of their life. And that's really important, really impactful, something that gives me joy every day. And then on a personal level, I think as a woman, I'm also really proud of, it took me a long time. But I think I got to a space where I accepted that I can go after what I want, regardless of what the expectations of society are. And that's a really good place to be at.
Amazing. Adji? Yeah.
Yes?
No, I was going to ask if you had something to say.
Defining oneself is not an easy task, right? I think, like, now I define myself, what I'm the most proud of, I think, is the fact that I define myself much more in relation to others than before. Because, like, I had this very moment of my life, like a year ago, where it was sort of a big shift in my life, like just shift of perspective and mentality, and I was so into myself and so into understanding who I am
and trying to understand, yeah, what's the point of it all and everything. And then from there, I could sort of, like the curve sort of went up and I could discover that actually people can be part of my inner landscape, like people can help me grow. And I think this is where I am at the moment. And in this curve, I created co-created a club with a friend, a filming club, also a show that I called the Blue Talk Show, where I would invite a friend and we would talk about a topic. And I think, yeah, just the medium of film, like videography, was just there as a way to sort of support that, I think. And that's much more like the place I see myself in right now. And it goes along also with what I said a bit at the beginning, this entrepreneur thing, and just connecting back with people in my hometown, just making like collaborating to make something we are proud of. Like, that's the thing, I think, for me at the moment. Yeah.
Riam, this is your moment.
Okay, so I guess it's like a personal, but I don't know. Anyway, so this is one of these kind of things that I've been like fighting for a long time, like being a woman and being maternal and being a person that cooks and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's one of those things that it's like I hate the fact that, I don't know if I hate the fact that I'm good at it, I don't know, but I'm proud of myself because I am creating a supper club at the end of the month. It might be this month or next month, I'm not sure yet. And it's basically something that I've been doing for years. And the other day, I feel like God really like pushed me to see all the things I had done before, and I've done it multiple times. I've always done these things where I like bring people together and I cook, and I just create a vibe. So now I'm going to monetize it.
Amazing. Amazing, 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 amazing.
I think I'm proud of learning to be more kinder to myself and actually doing it more. And I still have a lot of steps to make, but I think, why are you laughing at you? No, I'm kidding. No, but that's something that I'm proud of and that I just keep trying.
Dope, man.
Yeah.
That's really dope. Go
on, Lana.
Go on, Lana.
She's going to pass.
All right. Does anyone else want to say something that they're proud of? Kwame, Loyal?
I'm actually proud of my mindset. I think I'm proud of my career too, but I think what I discovered in the last couple of months that I really want to help and I want to give back to community. I still find my way of doing it, but I really want to learn Dutch now after 6 years being here. It's very embarrassing in order to give back to community and to go out there. And I think I'm very proud of that mindset of always want to help. And I started to like go to community things and just dive right in, even though I don't know anyone or I don't take anyone there. And it's things I'm seeing there of like working with people who don't have as much and just seeing the joy of working with them or like doing fun things with them. It's just so beautiful and it gives me back so much energy. So yeah, I'm very proud of doing that and doing that more and finding myself in that.
Amazing, amazing. You know, as I was listening to you guys today, I had to just sit back and just kind of think, like, we're really privileged to have you all in our lives. Especially on a sense that, like, we can actually just come and chat to you guys on a level. Do you know what I mean? Whether that's, like, for advice or, like, just to hear how you guys are doing. And for you guys to come and sit on our platform and talk and share for us, that's a big deal, man. So I really want to thank you guys for coming through, showing love, speaking, being open and vulnerable, and thank you again as well for letting us have the space.
No, you use it, you're good.
Huh? Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you again, guys, for just coming through. Like, yeah, we're really proud of the shit that you guys do, the things you do within your corporate lives and your personal lives, and just keep shining, because, like, it doesn't go unnoticed, innit? Like, there's so much stuff that you all should be very, very proud of, that we're all proud of you for as well. So, yeah, thank you again. And with that, I'll say, you've been listening to the Out of Home podcast with your boys Kieran, Yaf, Stephen, Kwame.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.